The restaurant sat at the bottom of a large bowl of Adirondack darkness. The surrounding mountains, beautiful during the day, forest green and forest wild, still made their presence known during the night. They shut out all horizons, zipped up, locked down, tucked in the well-scattered population between the New York towns of O'Sable Forks and Jay under a black and tight blanket. The lights from the restaurant were pinpricks of isolated civilization. The porch light was still lit. The inside lights were still lit. Proprietor Ken Hanna and his wife Elizabeth and an employee, Paul Poland, finished the work of Monday night in the first hours of Tuesday, August 5, 1930. The last three customers were gone, but money had to be counted, tables cleared, floors washed, stock replenished. A last cup of coffee had to be drunk, a joke told. The restaurant, simply known as Hanna's to the local residents, was a roadhouse on Route 9, the two-lane asphalt highway that meandered down from the Canadian border 58 miles to the north, then to Glens Falls and Saratoga Springs, then Albany, and all the way to New York City, Broadway, 275 miles to the south. Adventure had come to the road in 1920, especially in the dark, with the advent of the 18th Amendment, Prohibition, and an atmosphere of car chases and gunplay as smugglers tried to bring distilled spirits from one country to the thirsty citizens of another. The restaurant was a modest part of the excitement. A man could buy a drink at Hanna's, could also buy a bottle to take home, but this was not unusual. A man could buy a drink at most of the roadhouses along Route 9. The area was awash in alcohol. Farmers rented out their barns and hay wagons to smugglers. Mechanics in Saranac Lake fitted out automobiles for the chase. Engines cranked to racetrack speed. False gas tanks and false bottoms installed to convey every possible ounce of hard liquor and beer. Freight trains contained hidden cargo. Boats on Lake Champlain carried more contraband than sightseers. The dance was a decade old, a formalized routine of winks and nods, hide-and-seek, punctuated by occasional murders and publicized court trials. Illegality was the norm. I believe that 90% of the people in the county were opposed to prohibition, one O'Sable Forks resident later said. Not one farmer in 25 would not shield, help, or hide a rum runner. The usual compensation for their help was a bottle of liquor, more highly prized than money. Ken Hanna was Japanese, a relentless bundle of hustle and bustle, always on the job, meticulous about cleanliness. He considered himself a restaurant owner, not a bootlegger. The liquor business was something that had developed by circumstance. He provided good food at modest prices, typical American fare, even set up a roadside stand in the summers to sell hamburgers and hot dogs to travelers who didn't have time for a full meal. His establishment was run with much attention to detail. All kitchen employees had to wear hairnets. He inspected the waitresses every day from behind his rimless glasses, made the women hold out their hands, checked to see if their fingernails were clean, then looked down to see if their shoes were shined. His children laughed at this fussiness, and maybe the waitresses did too, but never in front of him. He was not a man surrounded by casual chatter and laughter. His given last name was Hanada, shortened long ago for easier English consumption. His version of the immigrant success story had started when he was a teenager, a cabin boy on a Japanese ocean liner. Left behind in an Anchorage, Alaska hospital when he fell ill, he decided to move to the United States. He learned the rudiments of a new language and then embarked on a new life that eventually led to a position as a houseboy for a wealthy family in O'Sable Forks. Impressed by his good work, the wealthy family sent him to cooking school in Boston. Cooking school led to the restaurant business. He had edged into his late 40s now, a familiar figure in the community, and was long married to Elizabeth, the local girl, a Cobb, quiet and religious. They had five children, ranging from 19 to 5, three girls and two boys. The color of Hanna's skin sometimes drew comments, obvious and stupid, such as Ching Ching Chinaman sitting on a fence, There almost certainly was no other Asian entrepreneur, maybe no other Asian resident in all of the Adirondacks, but he always seemed too busy to be bothered by an overheard insult. The restaurant on Route 9 constituted his entire empire. It was a long, one-story white building that was not only his business, but also his home. The dining room of the restaurant was the largest rentable room in O'Sable Forks, sometimes used for civic functions. The much smaller, illegal barroom was tucked next to the kitchen. A door not far from the restrooms at the other end of the dining room opened into the half of the building that was a four-bedroom apartment. Four of his five children were sleeping in that apartment at this exact moment. Two girls in one bedroom, the youngest boy in another. The third daughter, sick with a cold, was asleep on a couch in the living room. Hannah's 67-year-old divorced father-in-law, Matt Cobb, slept in a third bedroom. Hannah himself was in the back of the restaurant, locking the storeroom for the night. Elizabeth and Paul Poland were finishing their work in the well-lit dining room. The chores were almost done, the last dot of activity soon to be extinguished into the darkness. This was when the three men entered the restaurant. Elizabeth was the first to see them. She hadn't heard any car. The sound of the front door was what made her turn. The men, a curious sight, were standing by the cigar case. Elizabeth registered at first glance that each of them was wearing a soft felt hat, and each had a white cloth mask covering his face. Far from alarmed, she almost laughed. She thought these were friends from the nearby town of Keene playing a late-night joke. She was going to say something funny, had it half composed in her head, but then she saw the three revolvers. They were pointed at her.